But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive everything promised to us who are right with God through faith. Now, how do you get right with God? According to that scripture, how do you get right with God? Through faith. That's the only way you get right with God, through faith. How does your faith come? By feeding your spirit man, walking in the Spirit. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not circumcised. He don't care. The flesh is not what He looked on. Here's what is important. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Is that what God likes? I mean, you got to love me whether I'm good to you or not, right, girl? If you want God to be happy with you, you got to love me regardless of what I say or do, right?
Yes, sir.
And if we express our faith in love, is God pleased with us?
Yes,
yes He is. What if we don't? Then He's not happy with you. He's not happy with you. Now then we want to go to John 8:32 and then John 8:36. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will do what for you? It'll set you free. Now see, how many people that are living like I did in the church all those years that didn't know that I was free? I didn't know enough of God's Word. I didn't know how to walk in faith. I didn't know what it took to walk in faith. I didn't know I had to hide the Word in my heart. I didn't know all these things. And then after I began to learn the truth, it began to set me free. And 25 years ago, or 20-something years ago, I just rounded off 25 years ago. It's probably been close to that, 22 to 25 years ago now. When I asked the Lord that night, Lord, if I was healed when I was saved on the cross, if that's when it really happened, and then I was 11 before I learned that, but I received you as my Savior when I was 11. I said, why did this whole package, which appears to be a package deal, that all this becomes mine when I become a son of God? I said, if that's true, then why in the world have I been sick so many times in my life since I was 11 years old when I accepted you as my Lord and Savior? And He made a statement like this. I heard an audible voice. He said, son, I am a faith God. Now, that's in the Word everywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
I am a faith God, and without faith, it's impossible to please me. For them that come to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek me. See, every word is in there for a purpose. Them that diligently seek me. You know what diligence means? It means really getting in there and digging. You know, when you don't diligently seek God, kind of like when I'm working on this building out there, when all of us, I'm sure Yesha feels the same way as Cheryl does. You know, we get out there and work, all of the guys, we work from can till can. We start early in the morning, work till 30 minutes after dark. You know, and then we try to come in. And, you know, the first week I was on that, Cheryl, she says, you don't love me anymore. You don't talk to me anymore. You know, hey, well, I wasn't spending the time with her that I was when we were in the ministry center together, when I'd walk by and put my arm around her and hug her. Say, honey, I love you. See, that she liked that. You know, all girls like that, right? When their husbands come by and tell them how beautiful you are and all that stuff. But now I'm out there on that building up and down. And if she comes out there, I'm trying to weld or whatever. And when she comes there, I said, I need to talk to you. I said, well, hurry. I'm in a hurry. I got something to do here. She feels like she's not loved. Now, that's not true. She is still loved, right? It's just I'm not expressing it very well because I'm busy doing something else. And I'm sure Yesha must feel like an outcast too sometimes because me and Dave are out there working on that building. Girls, we want y'all to know we still love you. We still love you, don't we, Dave? That goes for Dave too. Praise the King. But we'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when you get a hold of God's Word, you'll learn. In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. Now see, the King, when I asked Him how come I'd been sick so many times, He said He's a faith God, and I had never received Him as my healer by faith in His Word. So when I called Him upon Him in faith 20-something years ago and said, Lord, tonight I am receiving You as my healer. Now see, the truth, I had learned it. Now I'm receiving that truth by faith, and when I totally received that by true faith, I didn't get sick anymore. Haven't been sick anymore. Will not be sick anymore. I'm going to walk in obedience to His Word. But you know what people tell you when you tell them this? Oh, you know, everybody's got to be sick. How are you going to die if you're not going to be sick? Well, if that's where you want to live and you want to be sick, that's okay. Go ahead. But I don't like being sick. And I don't like pain. You know, so if Jesus told me what to do, I want to do what He said, because I want to, since I know He's a faith God. See, that's exactly what I told Philip years ago when Philip had all them warts and scars. I said, son, there's something I've learned about God. He is a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I said, He will allow you to keep those warts and scars and take them even to your grave. Here he was, 11-year-old boy, and he'd had them for 8 years. But I said, if we go through His Word and I can build your faith and you can believe what He wrote in this book, I said, I guarantee the King of the Universe will take those warts and scars off your body. Well, after a few hours of teaching, I turned to that little 11-year-old boy and said, Philip, do you believe that Jesus I've been telling you about in this book can take them warts and scars off of you? And after 2 or 3 hours, the little boy looked up at me and said, Mr. Scrivener, after what I've heard you say about Jesus, I believe He can do anything. Is that the kind of faith the King's looking for?
Amen.
Obviously, it was sufficient, wasn't it? Because then we prayed, like Kim used that prayer, Matthew 18:19, a prayer of agreement. We prayed and used that very same prayer, and the Lord began to take off Philip's warts and scars. And after a few weeks, all of them were gone. And he's never had one come back all these years. Isn't it wonderful to know a God that does miracles, that answers prayer, that you can touch His hand? But you have to touch Him by faith. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. Don't you love being free? Yes, I don't want to be in bondage. I don't want to live. I don't want to be sick and afflicted. But some people will tell you, I don't believe this, Thurman. I've been sick all my life and I don't believe this. Well, you know, if I tell you, well, you're sick because of sin, most of you will get offended. I don't believe that. You know, I do not sin. The thing about it is, you don't know what sin is. See, Romans 14:23, Paul's talking about eating. And when he gets down to Romans 14:23, he says, but if people have doubts about whether they should eat something or whether they shouldn't eat it, they would be condemned for not eating in faith before God. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. So anything that's done out of faith is what?
Sin.
It's sin. It's sin. See, there's so many things. Like, this is the thing Dave and I have worked on so diligently out there, because he wanted to get healed and stay healed. The interpretation of sin. What is sin? Well, I mean, you know, so I work for a big computer company, and when we get a contract over the other people, we gloat over that. That couldn't possibly be sin. Is it?
Yes,
it is. Did he think he was sinning? No. No, he had no clue. Why did he not think he was sinning? Because he didn't know the Word. But now he's read it. And now then when somebody, some kind of sin or something or some kind of problem befalls somebody else, he don't say, oh, looky there. You know, you got what you deserve. No, he ain't going there. Not at all. Because we know the consequences, don't we, Dave? We've read the Word. We've read the Word. Like that scripture that he read a while ago, he said, and the Lord killed the firstborn in all Egypt. Somebody says, God, He wouldn't kill, but He does. He gives life and He takes life. And the beginning of the knowledge of God will bring wisdom to you, and that's the beginning of fear. When you understand that God, all God's got to do is say, you know, God could say, Jack, you know, I didn't like what you done last week, and so I'm going to end your life today. What's going to happen? It's over. It's over. I mean, you can't go to no higher authority, can you, Jack? So that's why you're going to try to please him, right? Because you ain't ready to die either. All we want to do is to please God. And of course, when this mercy endures forever, if he wasn't merciful and it didn't endure forever, there wouldn't be a single one of us alive in this room today. If he hadn't been merciful over and over and over and over and over and over and said, you know, I'm giving you another chance, I'm giving you another chance, I'm giving you another chance, I got a feeling that we would all, it would have been over, wouldn't we, Tom? But see, now we're learning, aren't we? Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. Now then, let's go to Romans 7, and we'll just start in verse 7. Romans 7, 7 through 25. Romans 7. Well, then, am I suggesting that the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, do not covet. Now, where do you find out what God likes and don't like? From this law. You read it. If God says, don't lie, if God says, don't take my name in vain, you know, because everybody takes my name in vain, will not go unpunished. I mean, so why do so many men that profess to be Christians walk around taking the Lord's name in vain all day long? You see it, right? You know people do this. You know some of them are in church. So if they know this and they've read this, they obviously don't believe this. And so then here's I've seen pastors that even take the Lord's name in vain. I've seen deacons, you know, that do all kinds of crazy things. And I think, you know, there's something wrong with this picture. These men obviously do not know or do not believe that God means what he says. You know, you just can't go there. But then whenever the guy gets to be 45 or 50 years old, he comes down with cancer. What do you do then? What do you do with him when he comes down with cancer? Somebody said, well, let's go pray for him and get him healed. You go over there and pray for him. Never say anything about getting your sins repented up. None of that. Everybody in the church prays for him. Thousands of people's praying for him. And I get these emails all the time that says, you know, there's 10,000 people praying for this person. Pray for him. Hey, you only need, how many does it need to pray? One.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.